All right, our reading will be taken from Judges chapter number 4, starting, in verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosh Hagoyim. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lippadoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, 'The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take possession of Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand.'" Well, Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 warriors went up behind him. And Deborah went up with him. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to put your Bible or device down. I want you to not grab nobody, but look somebody square in the eye and point at them. Look somebody square in the eye and point at them. We ain't trying to disrespect. They get mad, blame me. Amen. Point at them and say, "Neighbor,
will you do
as instructed?" Neighbor,
will you do
as instructed? Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Will You Do As Instructed?" For those that have kids and you give them instructions, before you get back home, the dishes better be washed, floor better be swept. But when you come home, everything wasn't done according to your. Then you have some of us that love putting stuff together, but we don't want to follow the that came along with the item, because we think we got it all figured out. And once you all done, Reverend Brother Red, putting it all together, you realize you got some pieces left over. That's letting you know you have those left over because you did not follow the. And then, Deacon Booth, we all have dealt with one time or another someone who was coming to us struggling in life. And as they're struggling in this life, since we're Christians, we take time out and pray with them and show them in the Word of God what God instructions are for them. And they go off, and Sister Davis, they continue to do what they've been doing. You were sharing the word of God with them to help improve the quality of their lives. But since they didn't follow the instructions, their lives are continuing to spiral down. And they're wondering, why is this happening to me? Because you haven't followed the instructions. Then we have what's happening here in the Bible in Judges chapter number 4. Before we get down to verse 4, we have to touch and look at what caused them to be in the predicament that they find themselves. Ehud, who was their judge and their leader, has now been called home to glory. And the people are now doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Let me explain it this way. Deacon Alex, you know, as long as we got somebody leading us, calling us, all right, I'm be there at 10 o'clock to pick you up to take you to church. Okay. All right, Bible study start at 7:30. I'm going to be at your house at 7 p.m. Be ready. Okay. They got a service going on during this week. I'm coming to get you. Okay. But that person moves on, or that person gets called home to glory. Now, you're responsible for getting yourself to these places. And rather than you upholding that which you've been doing, but you were only doing it because someone was guiding you. And now that that guide is gone, you're now doing what you want to do. You going to church on Sunday is not necessarily what you want to do, so you don't go. You going to Bible study is not what you really want to do. You going to services during the week or afternoon service on Sunday is not what you want to do. And since this is not what you want to do, you are not drawing closer to God, but you're getting further and further away. The Bible says that the people of Israel were sold into the hands of King Jabin of Canaan. And when we look at this whole soul, it's not so much God sold us, but we sold ourselves. Because we are the ones that moved away from our blessings. And when we moved away from our blessings, it seemed like we caught all kinds of hell. It seemed like everything was going wrong, and everything that we were involved in, stuff just started happening, and we couldn't find ourselves getting out of where we were. It seemed like the more we tried, the more suppressed we were gotten. It seemed like 1,000 pounds were put on our shoulders and we couldn't move anymore. And we found ourselves getting frustrated and getting mad, because this is what happened to the people of Israel. Because what happened was Jabin came in with his 900 iron chariots, with his general Sisera leading them. And they were so dominant in that time, and Israel didn't have any iron chariots, they were able to put them in check real quick and in a hurry. And they were cruel to them. This cruelty went on for 20 years. But you know what happened to the people of Israel? Excuse me, y'all, is that they realized enough is enough. I'm tired of being persecuted. I'm tired of being beat down. I'm tired of being told when and when not to. I'm tired of somebody ruling me that has not the right to rule over me. The one who's ruling over me ought to be God. But where is God right now? Lord, I need your help. Now, how did they get there? It was all because of their own actions. It's not what God did to them. It's what they didn't do with God that put them in the position that they were now being oppressed by this mean king. But they realized that enough is enough. Lord, I know I messed up, but Lord, I'm coming to you because enough is enough. I'm tired of living like this. Lord, I'm coming to you for help because enough is enough. Do I got anybody in here who ever had to say enough is enough? And you said it's time to make some changes. I'm tired of walking like this. I'm tired of talking like this. I'm tired of being beat down. Enough. And I want you to understand that you realize that, Lord, I've been trying in my way and it ain't been getting me nowhere. But Lord, I'm now calling on you. I'm realizing where I've fallen short. I realize the mistakes I've made because enough. And now, what happens? God already has a messenger in place. Deborah, the prophetess, is in place, judging the people. And she is judging them there on the hill country of Ephraim, between Ramah and Bethel. And as she's judging the people, the Lord, Deacon Aldridge, says to her, go on and call for Barak. I got an assignment for him. When he comes to you, I got a word that I need for you to give to him from me. And we see, Reverend Rose, that they send word to Barak. Barak receives the word, and Barak comes and know that the prophetess Deborah wants to talk to him. And when he comes into her presence, if I could just use my spiritual imagination, when she sees him coming, she puts a smile on her face. And when she smiles at him, what does he do? Smile back at her. And like saying, she's called me and I gather she's got something she needs to share with me. He is somebody whom God has called out. God could have called whomever he wanted, but God called Barak. And when he called Barak, I'm paraphrasing, he said to Barak, bro, you're going to go for Israel. You're going to go and fight against Sisera, he and his chariots and his troops. I'm going to put him into your hand. You're going to have the victory. Bro, all you got to do is now go. I can see his smile turn into a frown because of the reality of the situation. He knows how dominant this army has been against so many. He knows how this army has dominated the Israelites for 20 years. They had the most dominating weapon there was of that time. They had iron chariots, which would be considered like today of having a whole bunch of tanks, and your enemy has none. So now all Barak can see is that, wait a minute now, I don't have the weapons to fight with that the weapons that our enemy has. But you want me to go and get 10,000 warriors from Naphtali and Zebulun and I'm going to fight against them, but I don't have the weapons of warfare that they have. You see, I want you to understand that if all you can see what can go wrong, I want you to know ain't no blessing going to come on you the way you want it to. Because if all you can see is what you're fighting against and that it's bigger than you, I understand some stuff you're going to go up against is bigger than you. But the one thing you got to remind yourself, I don't care how big and bad it is not bigger or badder than my God. And if my God told me to go, I got to go and do what my God called me to do. Because I recognize how good my God is. But I want you to realize that my boy Barak was looking at the situation. He couldn't see it that way. All Barak could see is that, wait a minute, I can't see how I am going to win. So what Barak did at this point is that he put his attention on the messenger and took his attention off the message. Anytime we take our attention off the word of God and put the attention on the messenger of God, I want you to know you ain't got nothing but some problems. You see, because I want you to understand that I am just the mouthpiece. God is the one who is performing all the acts. I want you to know that we put too much attention on the messenger, but we got to put more attention on the messenger. Oh, somebody go work with me. You see, because I want you to understand something. You can see the messenger, so that's why we want to hang out with the messenger. We don't always want to deal with the message because I can't see the message. I can't touch the message. In order for me to move forward in the message, I got to operate by faith. I can see the messenger, but I'm struggling with the message. Now, I got to give Barack credit. Brother could have just walked away and said, guess what? I'll let you know tomorrow. So I got to give him credit for that. He ain't telling no lie. But you know what he did say to him? Sister Rose, he said, look, let me help you understand. You go with me, we go. You don't go with me, ain't happening. If you don't go, ain't happening. So what in essence is what we're seeing here is this, y'all. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's limits on your faith. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Limits on our faith. As long as we have limits on our faith, we'll never be able to reach our full potential. As long as there's limits on our faith, we will not be able to truly experience the glory of God. As long as there's limits on our faith, we ain't gonna be able to go but so far. It's like driving a car and having a moped. Now, if you got to go 100 miles, are you going to take the moped or the car? You ain't going to be no second thought about it. You're going to jump in that car and get there real quick. Yeah. Well, some a little faster than others. But sure enough, a whole lot faster than you went on that moped. Amen. But if I ain't got to go but maybe about 2 or 3 miles, then I'll jump on the moped, save me some gas, and get there. But that's how our faith is. For some, we got moped faith. But God is telling us we ought to have. We got to have automotive faith. We got to be willing to speed and step on it when God tells us to. You know, and when you're driving that automobile, most of them have at least 6-speed automatic, some 7, some 8. But I want you to know, each gear shift the faster you go because of the fact that you realize that sometimes you got to go a little faster than others. But that's having faith that has no what? Limits. But the problem we're seeing here with Barack is that his faith has what? Limits. Now, some folk might say that he has issues with women. That ain't the issue. Let me clarify that for you right now. That's not the issue. Because if he had an issue with the woman, he would not have even received anything she said, and we'd have laughed her off and walked away. Right. But the question wasn't her gender. The question was the struggle he had was with her words. Because she told him to what? Go. And that you're going to have the what? Victory against who? Sisera and his iron chariots and his troops. And what we're seeing Barack saying to her, and he thinking in his mind, angel, yeah, really? Guess what? You believe what you just told me? Sure enough. Well, guess what? If you don't go with me, I ain't going to fight. Do you see that? He had more trust in the messenger than he had in the message. Because I can see the messenger, but I can't see the somebody going to work with me. You see, because faith come by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. And if we're unable to receive the instructions and act on the instructions God has given us, that means that we are limiting our faith. Our faith can only go as far as we allow it. So if you don't have the faith to believe God and his word, then you have a moped faith. Which means that, yeah, you'll go a little ways, but Lord knows it's going to take you a long time to get there. And there's a whole bunch of stuff you're not being able to reach. Why? Because you got a moped faith. But if you have the automotive faith, you're doing even better. But I want you to know, once you get a hold of that automotive faith and you really run with it, I want you to understand something. Then God's going to give you that jet set faith. Oh, somebody going to work with me. Because it's not just about how far you can go. It's about how high you can you see, so what we're seeing here with Barak, he's not a chauvinist. He just got limited faith. And because of the limitations of his faith, what he is saying to her is that I'm only going to go if you believe what you told me. If you don't believe what you told me, I ain't going. Because if you're not going to go with me, then ain't no need for me to go. You see, my brothers and my sisters, will you do as instructed? Because I want you to understand, in this life, we're going to come up against some stuff that's bigger than us. And when God gives us an answer, because we already had told God, enough is enough. It's time for change. And when God brings the change and puts it at your feet, and it's through his message, and you now got to follow the instructions. Now, whether or not you are going to say enough is enough, it will be determined on whether or not you are willing to follow the instructions that God has given you that's going to get you set free. You see, we stay restricted because when God puts it at our feet, we don't believe it can happen. We have limits in our faith. And as long as the limits exist, we ain't going. But so far, because we have a moped faith. So, the interesting thing that was said to Barak by Deborah is this. In verse number 9, Deborah gives him her answer. She says, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a what?
Woman.
See, that's why he's chauvinistic. No. 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 Let me explain what's happening here. Some folks say, well, he had a problem with a woman prophetess, and because of that, now God is showing him he's going to have a woman do it. No. The issue is this. His faith was limited. And through the limits of his faith, what God is showing him is that, bruh, you have value. A value that you didn't give to yourself. It's a value that I've given to you. I've given you the strength and the ability to overcome this enemy with these 900 chariots, and with your 10,000, you're going to overtake them and overpower them, and you are going to be victorious. But since you can't believe what I'm telling you, I am now going to take him, sell him to someone who does not have the strength that you have, but will get the victory, all because they're going to follow the instructions I'm going to give them. And it's going to be somebody who's not as strong as you. And it wasn't. It was just a woman in a tent. When you get home, go on and read chapter 4 of Judges. Because Sisera's army was being defeated. He ran to this woman's tent and she hid him under the carpet. She took a tent peg in one hand, a hammer in the other, and hammered the tent peg through his forehead. I mean, through his temple while he was under the carpet. So what God is saying to us, don't let your blessings pass you by. Amen. The glory of God wants to land upon you. But since you have limited faith, rather than that glory coming to land on you, it goes by you, and then it goes and land, boom, on somebody else. And then you walking around frustrated because you saw how the Lord turned some stuff around and you was expecting God to do more with you, but now you missed it. Because of the fact that you had to see it all happen before it took place. You had to have something to believe in other than stepping out on faith and believing God in his word. We have to know that God has given us the ability to have the victory in all that we do when we learn how to unleash our limited faith, when we learn how to take the limits off our faith and move forward based on how God is blessing us. Then we're going to see how the Lord is going to move in us, and then the glory of the Lord is going to land on you rather than go past you. That's why we got too many folks in church who are frustrated because of the fact that they do not follow the instructions. They don't do as God wants them to do. And because they're not doing as God wants them to do, we got more folk in church frustrated than we got folk in the world frustrated sometimes. Folk in the church getting frustrated because of the fact that, Lord, why ain't you blessing me the way I think I ought to be blessed? Why? Because you are not following the... And because of the fact that you always got to see it first, you got to feel it first, you got to smell it first. But and what we have to understand is that we don't want to be like Thomas, because we don't want to wait to have to see it all happen. We got to receive it through what? And if we're not able to move by faith, then how are we going to please God? We only can please God when we as his people operate by what? I understand sometimes we deal with struggles and pains and frustrations, but in order for you to see the glory of God working in your life, you got to walk by what? Faith. You can't put no limits on what God is going to do. When you understand how good God has been, when you understand where the Lord has brought you from, when you know how he's turned you around, that's when you experience the glory of God, and that's when you can say what? No limits. I'm here to say to you today, do I got any folk who are in God's house today who are willing to say, no limits? I'm tired of putting limits on my faith. I'm tired of worrying all the time. I'm tired of walking the floor all the time. I'm going to say what? No limit. I don't have any limits on my faith. I'm going to praise God anyhow. I don't see the change happening, but I'm thanking him because I know the change is already on the way. Do I got any folk who are going to say no? You see, my brothers and sisters, God's got a place he's taking Broad Rock. And in order for us to get there, we got to say what?
No limits.
Because there is no limits on our
faith.
Why? Because God wants to do great things.
Yeah.
And in order for God to do great things here at this church, the people of God in this church, when we look at some stuff and it might not look right or we're not sure how it's going to happen, I'm not going to waver left or right. I'm going to look at it and I'm going to say no. Because as I say no limits, what I am saying is, God, I don't care how it looks. It's not bigger than you. God, I don't care how it's going. You can change the direction of it. God, I don't care what they say about us. We are not going to focus on what they say. We're going to stay focused on you. There's always going to be a hater in the house. There's always somebody throwing something at your house. But that's all right, because I have already said there are no
limits.
Because I recognize I ain't got to see it to believe it. Because if I got to see it to believe it, I'll be waiting a long time to see it. So I'm going to praise him before I see it. I'm going to thank him before I see it. I'm going to give him the glory before the change comes. Because I know I serve a God who is faithful. And he will do just what he said he's going to do. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand that you serve a God? If he told you, you can believe it. And I will not put limits on my faith, but I will walk by faith and not by sight, praising and thanking his holy name. Because our God is an awesome God. Our God is a faithful God. He will be there with us through thick and through thin. Our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is a good shepherd. He is right there for us. So I will say no. You see, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this story, when we understand all that's going on, his struggles are real. Can we be honest with you? His struggle is real. Because for 20 years, nobody was able to defeat Sisera and his 900 iron chariots. But God is the one that inserts the but. Because there's nothing on this earth that God hasn't created. So if he is the creator of all things, that means that he can break and change anything. So if you are a child of God, you have to be able to say that there's no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. When I know how good my God is, oh, I feel like preaching a few more minutes. When I think about how good my God is, I don't care how big the weapon, I don't care how successful it has been in the past, but when God tells me to move forward, I'm going to move forward in faith because I know who's got my front, back, left, right, top, and bottom. And I want you to know we serve a God who's got all power in his hands. There's nothing on this earth that can hurt us when we put our trust in God. If God tells you to go, you better do what? Because we're saying that there are no. Because I serve a God who is what? Limitless. And since God is limitless, why am I going to put limits on what I'm going to allow God to do in my life? Oh, I got arthritis. Oh, and Arthur's just kicking my butt. You keep talking like that, Arthur gonna kick your butt. Yes, you battle cancer. But if you're just saying it's just beating you up, you're gonna get beat. But I serve a God who is a great physician, who knows the number of hairs on my head, who knows the number of cells in my body, who knows how to heal me from this and from that. So, Lord, no matter how big they call cancer, it is not bigger than our. When you think about all that our God can do, you got to speak like there are no. Because my faith has no. So you got to speak the victory over your own life. Even if nobody else will speak the victory, you got to speak the victory over your life. Do I got any folk in God's house today who are willing to speak the victory over your own life? I don't care if nobody agrees with you. I speak the victory over my own life. You ain't got to agree with me. I'm already in agreement with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? You got to learn how to speak the victory. If God has given it to you, you better go get it. So, you can have a seat for 1 minute. I'm going to get ready to shut it down. But listen. Listen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Listen. What we see, y'all, in this scripture. To say I didn't do this at 11, but at 8, I'm going to do it now at 11. Because I ran out of time. There is two types of faiths that we see in the scripture. We see Deborah's faith, and we see Barak's faith. You see, Deborah's faith had no limits. Somebody going to work with me. But Barak's faith had. Because Barak didn't believe that Deborah was believing what she was saying. And he was putting her to the test. Because what did he say to her? I go only if you don't go. Check this out. Jeanette, he couldn't have been taking her because she was a mighty warrior. Because she wasn't Jalen. She was just a woman that sat under the tree and helped the people of God. So he wasn't taking her for her physical attributes. He was taking her because of her spiritual attributes, which starts with her. And once he realized, because you know what he said to her? Oh, you believe that? You gonna come with me? She immediately said,
yes.
Did she hesitate? No. Girlfriend said, I'm packing my stuff right now. Let's go. Yeah. And at that point, he realized, well, there might be some truth to what girlfriend talking about. Uh-huh. Because she's going to come with me. Because if she's going to come with me to battle, then she knows that if she lies, she's going to die right along with us. So for her willing to come, I guess there must be some truth to this. And then that's when God told her to tell him, my glory has just passed you by. Because I put it in your lap, but you would not receive it. Because your faith was limited. What am I saying to us today? I don't know about you. I don't want God's glory to pass me. I want it to stay with me and go with me every step of the way. Because I don't know about you. I know I didn't get this far because I'm all out of bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. I got this far because I stepped out on. And that's not just my story. That's also your story. So what I'm saying is that if faith has brought us this far, how in the world am I going to look back now? You see, because I want you to understand, God can use anybody to be a messenger. If God can speak through a donkey, that means that anybody can be a messenger. So it's left up to us to make sure that we don't get caught up in the messenger, but stay caught up in the message. Because I realize that it's God's message that has brought me this far. I realize it's God's word that is keeping me. I realize it is God's word that is sustaining in me. It is God's word that's providing for me. It is God through his word that's allowed me to be what I am right now. Do I got anybody who's excited because you see the value in the God you serve? You see the value in the word? You see the value how that word has touched you, how God has touched you, how God has changed you? And that's why you can stand and say, I have. And since I know I have value, I will say no limit on my faith. No limits. Move, people of God. Take in God's instructions. What will you do as instructed? Will you do as instructed? Will you do as instructed? Well, I would, but I no, just messed up. Well, I thought about just messed up. Will you do as instructed? There's too many folk frustrated in churches. There's too many folk in churches that are stuck. There's too many folk in churches that aren't moving. God has given you the plan to start a business. But you can't see it. You're not supposed to see it. But when you start walking in it, you'll see. God told you to write a book. But if you don't write it as he instructs you, then that glory moves from you to somebody else. And before you know it, 3 years later, somebody done took your title and wrote your book. And you're like, well, that was the book I was going to write. Well, what is it that God is utilizing in you? Because you told God already, enough is enough. And God said, good. Now you're back. Now I'm going to put it at your feet. It's left up to you to do it. And it's still at your feet. Look on down. It's down there. You got to see it by faith. In order for it to happen, you must walk by and not by. There's too much God has. There's too much potential God has given you and for the things he wants you to do. But they're not happening because you're not operating by. Because you put limits on your. So what I'm saying to you today, it's time for you to break it. It's time for you to pull out your faith sledgehammer. And those things that have been limited in your life. If I'm talking to you, just go on and put your hand up with me. Put the hand up with me. Because what you're saying is I got my spiritual sledgehammer in my hand. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to bring it down and break those things that have put limits on me. Break it right now. No longer will I be afraid. No longer will doubt win. No longer will I say I can't. No longer will I say I'm a nobody. No longer will I let folk walk over me. No longer will I think I'm nothing. From now on, I'm going to break. Yes. moving in my faith. No more.